That last song, one of the lines in it was, "I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation." And that's true. When we build our life upon God's love and upon who he says we are and upon his gospel, that's a firm foundation that leaves us unshaken when most of the world is shaken around us. And so it's really fitting for the time that we're in. And I just want to talk to you really briefly about an opportunity that we have, not just at Transformation Church, but as the church of Jesus. And I think it really fits in with what we were just singing. You know, the fact that building our life upon God's love is a firm foundation for us. But if you love Jesus today, you, by just looking around, it's pretty easy to tell there's a lot of people who are very shaken by everything that's going on right now. There's a lot of people who wouldn't be able to say as a personal testimony that their life is on this sure foundation. You know, a lot of people are afraid right now, not knowing what the future holds or what's going to happen. But as someone who follows Jesus, my hope is in him. Even in times like this where it's dark and it's frustrating. You know, I wish things were different. You know, I wish things were a little bit more the way they used to be. But my world isn't shaken because I trust in him. And so, as I mentioned, this is Palm Sunday. And so, traditionally, this is a time where churches gather and we celebrate the fact that 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem a week before his arrest and crucifixion and resurrection. And on entry to Jerusalem, he had people that lined the streets and they had palm branches and they were waving them and saying, "Hosanna." And they were celebrating him as king. They were worshiping him as king. And so traditionally, that's a time where churches, this Sunday, we celebrate that, and it leads up to Easter. And so this coming Friday is Good Friday, where we remember and reflect on the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for us. And then Sunday is Easter Sunday. We celebrate his resurrection, all that means for us. But today, Palm Sunday, is a time where we celebrate Jesus as king. And so this opportunity you have, there's going to be information about this on the website. Sometimes I think when I explain things, it makes sense to me, but I'm not sure it makes sense to you. So I'm going to try to explain this briefly to as best I can. There's information on the website. And if you want to reach out and email us at the church email or me personally, we can make sure to explain this even better if this is complicated. So there's a group called the Gospel Coalition, which is just a whole bunch of leaders and pastors and believers, people who love Jesus, and there's people connected to the Gospel Coalition like all over the world. And there was a call that was done, I think it was yesterday or day before. There were 13,000 people listening in on this call or webinar, and they put a challenge out. They said, "Let's flood social media this week with stories about how Jesus changed our lives." And so this is a challenge for you, but this is something we can take part in and know that we're taking part in this with a whole bunch of other people who love Jesus. And so in celebration of Palm Sunday, this is what my challenge is to you. Let's each of us upload a video of ourselves, 1 to 3 minute video of how Jesus changed your life. And so I want to encourage you to, and this might be something you've never done before, so it might be a scary thought for you. But I want to encourage you to just do a really quick video about how Jesus Christ has changed your life, what it means to you to be a follower of him, 1 to 3 minutes, and then upload that testimony to social media. So whether that's Instagram or Facebook, if you use Twitter, I don't really use Twitter that much, so I don't know if you can upload videos that long or not, but upload that to social media, and when you upload it, make sure you hashtag it, "Jesus changed my life." I think that'll be up on the screen. And so if you upload Jesus, hashtag Jesus changed my life, that will make sure that you're connected with all of the other stories of how Jesus changed people's lives. Okay, so it, if people click on that hashtag, it brings them right to the place where all those other stories are posted. And then also in your description, make sure you put @TransformTBay, which will connect people to Transformation Church. If you're a part of Transformation Church, that way there's someone who knows you, who hears this story, would have a church that they can connect to and get involved with and hear the gospel and be encouraged together. If you're listening in on this and you don't come to Transformation Church, make sure you put a handle in there of like @whatever church so that people know that they can connect to that church. And so this week, we can join in with all of the people that were singing Jesus praise as he came into Jerusalem and celebrating him as king. We can actually take part in that in celebration of Palm Sunday by posting a short video of, "Hey, this is how Jesus changed my life." And so I want to encourage you to do that. There's instructions that are on the screen, but that might be a little confusing because there's more of an explanation of that on the website, which links to the actual Gospel Coalition. So they explain how this is all done. And so let's do that together. It's really simple. And I believe that's based on Scripture. Like, people are going to encounter Christ not because of what the pastor says, but because of you and I. And so it's not the job of the church as an institution to reach your family and friends with the gospel. It's us saying yes to God and saying, okay, Lord, I'm willing to be a testimony for you. And so if we do this week, what we're going to do is we're going to flood social media with really great stories of how Jesus changed lives. Because right now, social media is not a really fun place to be. There's all kinds of depressing updates coming out on a daily basis. And not that that's not important. We need to be listening to what's true and what's going on in the world. But let's flood social media with stories of how Jesus changed our lives. And so I encourage you to take part in this. I think it's really incredible. I'm going to do it. And I hope some of you are able to do that as well. And when we can open our doors back up, hopefully we'll have lots of people that are connected in to this again. So, and just again, too, as a reminder, there are prayer times through the week. If you want to be involved in a Zoom call through Transformation Church for life group or for prayer, there's lots of opportunities for that. Send us an email if you want. There's another prayer tonight at 6:30. It's a cross-city prayer time, praying for Thunder Bay. If you do have questions specifically about that, you can email Pastor Gene, and you can find email on the website. And so we'd love for you to be connected, get involved, be praying, and we're believing God for some really great things. This week, I want to talk about hearing the voice of God. So I'm just going to pray. Before I say anything about hearing God's voice, I just want to pray, because I believe this is one of the main messages that God gives us in the Scripture as far as what he wants us to know. And that is, we can hear his voice. Like, Jesus made it really clear when he was teaching the disciples right before he went to get arrested. He was saying, like, you can hear my voice. You know, my sheep hear my voice. And so maybe hearing God's voice is a new idea to you. Maybe you're listening and you're not even a Christian and you're like, this is why I don't go to church, because a bunch of weirdos talk about hearing God's voice and then they're crazy, right? And tune in, stay connected. I'm not saying that I'm not crazy, but I am saying I think God does want to speak to you, even if you're not a believer. Maybe you're tuning in for a reason. And so I'm just going to pray that God will speak, and we'll jump into the Scripture for this week. Lord, you're good, and we just thank you for who you are. Thank you that we are able to gather as a community, even online. And I just ask that as we look into your word for this week, that we would actually hear your voice, that we wouldn't just hear an opinion or a certain perspective. But Lord, beyond Sunday morning when we're tuned in online or at church in normal cases, beyond that, you actually want to speak to us on Mondays and Wednesdays and in the middle of the night sometimes, Lord. And so I just pray that as a people, you would help us to learn to hear your voice. And Lord, if there's people tuning in right now that don't know you, I just pray that they would hear your voice calling them. God, I believe that you've revealed to us that it's your desire to be in a relationship with everybody who takes a breath. And so, Lord, thank you for those that are listening that maybe even on the fence about this or maybe skeptical, and maybe they're tuning in because it's a bit safer to just be on the couch or wherever they are tuning in. And I just pray that you'd even speak to them this morning, God. We love you. And we welcome you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 22, which is in Luke, it's where Jesus is introducing to his disciples the Last Supper. But he says some things in here that really jumped out at me this week as I was studying it. And we're also going to be looking into John. And so if you're tracking with our New Testament reading plan this week, we've read Luke 22 all the way to John 2. Those are five chapters. And we're going to be talking about hearing God's voice, because Jesus learned to hear the voice of God. And I say that intentionally. And so Jesus actually had to learn to hear God's voice. He was fully God. He was fully man. Being fully man, he developed from the state of being a newborn baby to being a full-grown man. And Jesus, if you pay attention to how he lived his life, he actually shows you and I how we can relate with God Almighty. So when we read about Jesus' life, we shouldn't feel separated from it in the sense that, oh, I'll never get there. What Jesus was showing as a fully man, human being, he was showing, this is how you can relate to God. Because of what I'm going to do, because of the fact that I'm going to go to the cross, I'm making it possible for you to relate with God the way that I'm showing you. And so it's really incredible. He learned it. But before we get in, I just want to acknowledge the fact that when we talk about hearing God's voice, it does sound a little crazy. And so maybe you are one of those people that's tuning in this week and you think Christianity's weird, or you think that, you know, they're strange. And maybe just hearing the title of this message kind of confirms that. You're like, bunch of weirdos, right? And most of you that come here, you know my dad spent quite a bit of time in prison. When he, after he had given his heart to Jesus and his life was really transformed, he started to apply for parole. And it's really funny because he went through a major change. Like, God started to do stuff in his heart. He was a hardened criminal when he went into prison and came to know Christ. And so while he was, processing parole and all this stuff, he started realizing that he was, like, hearing God's voice, and he started to believe what the Bible says, that he was on this mission from God to tell others about him. And so he was going through the process of filling out his paperwork for parole, and there was, like, I don't know, a couple hundred questions on the sheet that he had to fill out. And he said that, like, he noticed every, 15 or 20 questions, there would be a question that would say, do you think you hear from God? Do you think you're on a mission from God? Do you believe you're God's ambassador? And at first, he was checking, like, yes, but then he realized the reason they're asking that is because they're trying to see if I'm crazy, if I've lost my mind. And so then he started thinking, maybe I shouldn't be saying yes to these questions. But the more that he read the questions, do you believe you're on a special assignment from God? Do you believe you hear from him? Do you believe you're God's messenger? He started saying, well, I do believe that. Like, God has revealed to me that I'm supposed to tell others about him. And so he just started checking yes, even though he knew they were probably going to think he was crazy. And he didn't actually get parole that first attempt. And I've heard him tell that story like a million times, because I've heard my dad share his story over and over. And each time I hear it, I'm encouraged, because I'm like, man, God works in powerful ways. But I wanted to highlight that because it does sound crazy to say you're hearing from God, right? And it's kind of one of those like conversation stoppers. And I've had, conversations with people that it's kind of weird the way they talk about hearing from God, because they're about to do something really weird or that is like a bad idea. And you start to say, no, you shouldn't do that. And they're like, well, God told me. And then I don't know what you do at that point. But for me, I'm like, well, what do you say, right? I mean, if God said it, I guess I can't really argue. And so some people kind of abuse hearing from God to do things that are actually crazy. And those are silly examples. We've probably all heard of insane stories of people who've claimed to hear from God and they've done horrible things in the name of God. In a lot of ways, I believe that tarnishes God's reputation in some way. Somebody who's saying, oh, I'm hearing from God, and they're doing something insane or ludicrous or crazy. And I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about authentically hearing his voice. And I believe that we can. I believe that there's also a caution that needs to be in place when we think about hearing God's voice. We have to realize we're human. Sometimes we get things wrong. And we need to be challenged by each other. I encourage that even when you listen to a sermon, don't take everything I say as if it's the truth. Like, if it doesn't line up with what God says in the scriptures, then don't listen to it. But we can. Jesus makes it clear we can hear from God. And so I'm going to read Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 22. And this is Jesus. You'll see, he's talking about he's introducing the Last Supper, but there's something he says here that's really profound, and I believe it has a lot of application for our life right now. It says, now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together. Where do you want us to prepare it? They asked him. He replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That's where you should prepare a meal. They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us, as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? Now, there's a lot going on in what we just read. And what I want to focus on today is, and this will be up on the screen, verse 22, the last one that I read, Jesus says, it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? Jesus says something here that's really profound. He says, it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. Determined means that it has been firmly decided. Now, I believe that Jesus, when he was born as a baby, was really a baby. Like, he was fully man and he's fully God. So as a newborn baby, as a child, as an adolescent, as a teenager, I don't believe Jesus knew at that time that he was going to physically die for the sins of the world. That God had to speak to Jesus by way of revelation. He was fully man. He's a man in the sense that he limited his ability of understanding in the same way that men and women are limited today in our understanding. Like Jesus, there's multiple examples in the New Testament where people came to Jesus and there was things he said he didn't know, like about the end times. We talked about that last week. Jesus said, only the Father knows the end. You know, no man knows the day or the hour, not even the Son himself. We talked a few weeks ago about the story where a woman with an issue of bleeding, she had, you know, this issue of blood coming out of her for 12 years and couldn't get healed, couldn't get fixed. She comes and there's like swarms of people all around Jesus and she can't get to him. And she's actually not even supposed to be out in public. And so she's like, she just knew if she could get to Jesus, she could be healed of this disease that had been so debilitating and caused her to be in isolation for like 12 years. She spent all her money. She was isolated. She was in a horrible state, 12 years long. And so the story goes that she breaks through the crowd and she's only able to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She reaches through, she touches his garment, and she's instantly healed. And Jesus, the scriptures say, he feels power leave him. So he senses, like he's in this crowd, people are thronging, they're all around him, everybody's elbowing each other, and it's this crazy scene. And all of a sudden, he feels like healing power just left him, which is a crazy thought, right? And he looks and he says, who touched me? And his disciples, they're like, Lord, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. You're in the middle of a crowd. People are elbowing and they're pushing and people are breathing down your neck. Like, what do you mean, who touched you? And he said, no, I felt power leave me. Who touched me? And Jesus wasn't faking. It wasn't like he was pretending not to know who had just touched him. He was fully human and fully God. And so he authentically asked this question, and I think he let the awkward silence hang long enough where this woman finally steps forward to break the awkward silence, because you got this whole crowd of people that are looking at him funny and he's asking who touched him. And she comes and says, it was me. And then he has this incredible interaction with her. He heals her. She's restored. He calls her daughter. He does this amazing thing. But Jesus, in that instance, he's showing the humanity, the human side of him, where he was authentically asking this question, who touched him? So in the garden, when Jesus is praying, and we talked about this a while ago too, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's like bothered. He's deeply bothered in his soul. The scriptures say that he was sweating like great drops of blood, and he's crying out to God, and he's saying, God, if there's another way, could that happen? And he's talking about going to the cross. He's talking about the crucifixion. And God says, no, there is no other way. I was talking to a pastor a couple weeks ago. We were talking about Jesus in the garden. And it was interesting. He said he believes what Jesus was wrestling with was whether or not to open his mouth at his trial. Because you think about it, every time in the scriptures that Jesus ever opened his mouth when he was defending himself or speaking to his accusers, they were put to shame in front of the whole crowd, every single time. There was never a time that somebody got the upper hand on Jesus. And so when he's wrestling in the garden, he's wrestling with whether or not to open his mouth at his trial. Because at his trial, if you read it in all four Gospels, Jesus hardly says anything. He lets all these false accusations come against him. He lets people make up all kinds of stories and say all kinds of things, and he doesn't open his mouth in defense. And the reason why is because of what we just read in verse 22. It has been determined that the Son of Man must die. God had revealed to Jesus that he was going to die for the sins of the world. And Jesus knew, like he knew that he knew in his heart of hearts that this is what God was calling him to do. But just like you and I, he didn't know that when he was a baby. He didn't know it when he was an adolescent, right? So at what point, and the Bible doesn't tell us where, but at what point did Jesus know and have confidence that that's what God was calling him to do? It's a really interesting question. And I'm not asking the question so that you can come up with, well, it was probably when he was 14, or maybe it was at his bar mitzvah. Like 13 is when they get, 12 or 13 is when Jewish boys go through a bar mitzvah process and become a man, right? So, I mean, there's all kinds of, you could debate all day exactly when, but that's not what's important. What was important was that Jesus had developed his relationship with God to the point where he could actually be confident that he heard from God. Do you want to be confident in hearing from God? I know I do. That's the desire of my heart. And so I only have two things I want to point out this week. And based on what Jesus says here in this prayer, and then I'm going to read a couple verses from John chapter 2 as well. But the two things I want to point out is that God speaks by way of revelation. And then the second one that we'll do after we get through that one is that God speaks truth and he's not influenced by the moment. I couldn't think of a better way to say that, and you'll see why. So that's not easy to remember, but I couldn't figure out a way to shorten that. And so these are the two things that I really want to emphasize this week, that God speaks by way of revelation, and he speaks truth, and he's not influenced by the moment. And so God speaks by way of revelation. That's the first one, okay? So we're only going to be two. But I just want to encourage you to lean in. If you want to hear God's voice, lean into what the scriptures teach us. Like the reason Jesus came was to reveal to you and I how we could have a relationship with God. Like when we have a major life decision ahead of us or we have something huge going on in our hearts, what better thing could happen than to hear the voice of God? I mean, if you're looking for peace in the midst of a storm, if you're looking for direction in the midst of confusion, like what better thing than to hear God's voice? Jesus at the garden is the best example of that. He's facing crucifixion on behalf of humanity. But the reason he could enter into that joyfully, the Bible says he went to the cross with joy, was because he heard from God. If you know that God's calling you to do something, you can go through anything. If it's just kind of you and you're like, well, I don't know, maybe this or that, like that could be really confusing. But if you know God's calling you to do something, there's an incredible amount of confidence that comes with it. And so God speaks by way of revelation. A revelation, and this will be on a slide for you, is something revealed or disclosed. And in theology, if you're talking in theological terms, which just means talking about God, God's disclosure of himself and his will to his creatures. Okay, so a revelation is something revealed or disclosed, and when we're talking in reference to God, it's that and the fact that God discloses himself to us. And so Jesus had revelation directly from God about his identity, who he was, and his call on his life, which is a profound thought. And I'm sure you could argue back and forth with somebody all day about at what point Jesus knew what God was saying, or about the fact that, you know, because a lot of people would say, well, no, he had full understanding even when he was a baby. But I really don't believe he was faking all the way through the scriptures that his knowledge was limited. So Jesus showed you and I how we can have revelation from God, which is a powerful thought. And I'm not going to, this isn't on the screen, but I just want to reference it. If you were following with us this week, we're reading through, as I said, Luke 22 all the way to John chapter 2. And in John chapter 1, it's really interesting, the temple assistants, they come to John the Baptist. And so Jesus hasn't started his ministry yet. John the Baptist, before Jesus' ministry started, was like proclaiming to everybody, hey, Jesus is coming, and you need to repent from your sins. You need to turn towards God. At that time, Jerusalem was involved in all kinds of evil things, and John the Baptist had this message of like, hey, turn away from your sin. Come get baptized and make your heart right with God. And he spoke with this confidence that astounded all of the powerful people of his day. And in John chapter 1, these temple assistants, they're sent there by their boss. They're sent there by all these religious elitists. And they ask John, they say, who are you? And then John responds, and you can look at it in John chapter 1, with a scripture verse. He says, I am the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming. And this week, as I was getting ready to talk about hearing the voice of God and thinking like God speaks by way of revelation, again, it struck me like John was confident about who he was. He was confident about his call. He knew it. So when people said, who are you? That's the exact question. They said, who are you? He had an answer. And my question to you this week is, if someone asks you, who are you, what do you say? What do you respond with? Is it, you know, I'm a dad, or I'm a businessman, I'm a lab technician, I work at the hospital, I drive a truck. Like, what comes to mind when someone says, who are you? I believe that's one of the most important questions you and I can answer, is to be able to confidently answer who we are with a, like, knowing from God who that actually is. Like, I believe that the Lord wants to show you and I who we are. And for some of us, it's a lifelong pursuit. It's a lifelong journey towards that discovery. But the scriptures make it so clear that we can actually hear from God about who we are. I'm going to veer from who we are to just a life direction story. And so, again, we're still talking about God speaks by way of revelation. And before I went to Bible school, I had gotten connected with Kingswood University, which is the Bible school that I went to. And I was leading ministry trips all over the Maritimes, and they were sending students out with us. And so I had started developing this relationship with Kingswood University. And some of the leaders approached me and asked me if I'd like to go to Bible school. And at the time, my wife and I had 3 kids, and this was before I decided to go. And so I just knew in my heart, it sounded awesome. Like, to be honest, I was like, yeah, I'd love to go to Bible school. It would take a lot of pressure off. The job I was working at the time, there was a lot of pressure, and I felt like I was inexperienced for it, and it sounded great. But I knew in my heart, I was like, you know what? Bible school takes 4 years. It costs a lot of money. I don't have that money. I don't know if I have the stamina. And I remember thinking ahead, thinking, you know, this sounds really great right now, but what about a year and a half in when I've got 7 assignments due and I've got crying children and I'm trying to spend time with my wife and trying to do all this stuff and it just sucks? Like, am I going to stick it out? And so I just knew, in my heart, I was like, I need to hear from God. Like, I need to know God is telling me to do this, because if he's telling me to do it, then when times get really hard, at least I can look back and say, no, God told me, therefore I can stick it out. And so I went for this walk, and I was praying and seeking God, and I just had zero direction from God. I didn't hear anything, and I was frustrated because I was like, man, I wish God would tell me or show me what to do, but he didn't. So I called up the guy that I was talking to and said, I'm not going to come. And this was about a year and a half before I had made the decision to go. And then the opportunity came up again, and I sought the Lord and prayed, and God made it really clear that I was supposed to go. But what I was afraid was going to happen did happen. I remember being at Bible school, and it was probably the most intense season of my life. Like, having, at that time, I had 4 kids, and I was also the resident director there, so I had a job at the school, and I was studying full-time. And there was times where I just wanted to give up. And I don't know if you feel like that in your life. You know, actually, I do. Probably most of you, at some point in your life, you feel like giving up on some responsibility, something that you're doing. And I just remember, like, there was times where it was really, really tough. And I felt like, was this the wrong decision? But I was able to look back and say, no, God made it clear that I'm supposed to be here. So I know he's going to get me through. And knowing that I'd heard from him is what got me through those 4 years. I wouldn't be in Thunder Bay today if I hadn't have finished that season of my life. Like, looking back, I know it was God. But even in the moment when I made the decision, I needed to know that it was God. And as we're talking about, God speaks by way of revelation. And when you hear from God about something, that will give you the stamina to walk out whatever it is he's calling you to do. And if you don't hear from God, it's easy to get confused. It's easy to waver back and forth and like, I don't really know if I'm supposed to do this. And you're back and forth and your emotions take over and you be really discouraged and depressed. But when you've heard from God, even when things get really tough, you're able to look back and say, no, God made this clear. I'm gonna stick it out. He's gonna give me his strength. He's gonna fill me with his spirit and enable me to do what I couldn't do on my own. And in relation to who you are, just like John the Baptist, he was able to confidently say to those people who asked him, who are you, exactly who he was. And I believe as a follower of Christ, you and I can have that revelation from God where he reveals, this is what you're called to do. We're not all called to do the same things. We're not all called to speak in front of a camera or to serve behind a camera to make it happen like Megan's doing here, or to be up on the stage leading worship. We're not all called to do the same things. But with what God calls us to do, we can hear from him and we can be confident that we're doing what he asks. And so I'm going to jump on to the next point, but before I do, I just want to put they're just tips, basically, on hearing from God. And they're nothing crazy. You're not going to read anything here that you're like, oh, I've never heard that before. But I'll bet most of us don't put these into practice on a regular basis in trying to hear from God. And so how to hear from God, I've got four steps here that you can take. I want to encourage you to immerse yourself in the Scriptures. Like, actually read the Scriptures, not just for historical knowledge, but just like, God, can you speak to me? Like, I want to hear from you. As I was reading this week in Luke chapter 22, seeing Jesus say, it was determined that I would go to the cross, I was like, man, I want to have that kind of confidence when I hear from God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures. Spend long periods of time in prayer, fasting, and listening. That might sound terrifying to you. Maybe a long period of time for you in prayer and fasting is giving up one meal a day for a week, or giving up one meal a day once a month, and just taking that time and spending it in prayer with God. You know, sometimes we look at people that are like way down the road. Like, I know people that fast for like 30 days at a time. That's terrifying to me, okay? So I want to encourage you, don't compare yourself with others. Just take what the Scriptures reveal and apply it to your life. And so Jesus did this often in his ministry. He would leave the crowds and he would go spend long periods of time in prayer. And so for you, whatever that looks like, I want to encourage you to do that. Spend time in prayer and even fasting. And if you physically, because of your medical condition, cannot fast food, maybe give up TV for a day and spend time in prayer, or give up coffee, or give up going on some trip. Just give something up to go and be with God and seek him and seek to hear from him. And during that time, I would encourage you to journal. So the next one is to journal what you're hearing. Journal your struggles, your fears, your hopes, your dreams. Like, what is it you struggle with? You know, sometimes we get all that stuff bottled up, and then it just comes out on everybody around us. We get frustrated and angry because we've got all this stuff bottled up, and we don't even always know why. Like, journal that stuff out in a prayer. Like, if you want to hear from God, I would encourage you. And again, if you're listening in today and you're not somebody who follows Jesus, I want to encourage you to be absolutely honest. You know, maybe you don't follow Jesus today, but you can relate with being frustrated, being overwhelmed, wanting to give up. Start to journal that stuff out. And even if it starts off with you saying, God, if you're real, then hear this prayer and show me what to do. You know, journal entry is as simple as that. Instead of dear diary, dear God. And if you're a follower of Jesus today, I would encourage you, what you're wrestling with, struggling through, maybe you're disappointed in your life, in your marriage, or with your family, or your job, or your financial situation, journal that stuff out. That's what the Psalms are. If you read through the Psalms in the Bible, they're just basically journal entries. They're prayers to God about the human struggle. You're not even, if you read through the Psalms, you might have picked up some things that were said this morning. You might not even agree with everything that are said in the Psalms, because they're just this raw, honest cry to God. There's some things that David and other psalmists say that you're like, I can't believe that's in the Bible. That sounds pretty violent. Like, you want to destroy your enemies like that? Because the Psalms are meant to be us journaling our struggles to God. They're a prayer to him. And if you want to hear from God, you've got to get that stuff out. You've got to pray those things to him. And then listen for how God is speaking through others. If you're actually pursuing and pressing in and believing that God does speak by way of revelation, keep your ears open. Like, God wants to speak to his children. So hearing his voice, immerse yourself in the Scriptures, spend time in prayer, journal what you're wrestling through, praying for, and then listen for how God's speaking. He may even speak to you through a dream. And maybe, you're like, crazy bells are going off. You're like, that's, I knew it. Those Christians are just weirdos. But he does speak that way sometimes. You know, you're praying about something specific, and he makes it clear through some dream or some vision, or somebody that you haven't talked to in a long time calls you and says, hey, I was really thinking that you should, you know, whatever. Listen for how God is speaking. He speaks by way of revelation. He reveals himself to us. And then the second thing, and this is the last thing I want to draw from in this topic, is God speaks truth, and he's not influenced by the moment. So I wrestled with how to say this, because I don't know that that's the most concise, memorable way to say it. But from what I'm seeing in the Scriptures, this is what I wanted to communicate. That, and you'll see, because I'm going to read in John here in a second. But God, when he speaks to you, he speaks the truth. He's not influenced by what's going on in your life in the moment. Have you ever had, and this happens to me all the time, I'll hear about how somebody said something nice about me. And then I'll think, when did they say that? Because if it was a week ago, 3 days ago, I did this or said this, their opinion of me probably changed. But I don't know if you've ever experienced that. But for me, I think about that kind of thing often. People's opinions of us change based on the moment, based on what we do or what we say. Or at least we feel like their opinions of us change. You know, maybe it's just all psychological. But we know as people are influenced by feelings, we're influenced by the moment. When God speaks something, he's not influenced by the moment. This will be up on the screen. I just want you to think about this for a second. When God speaks of his love for you, he does it in full knowledge of all your past and future failures. When God speaks of his love for you, he does it in full knowledge of all of your past and future failures. So when you hear from God about something, you don't need to be afraid that that's going to change, that he's just all of a sudden going to change his mind. Like, oh, well, you screwed up, so I guess that's not going to be how it is. Like, when God speaks of his love for you, he does it in full view of your entire life. When we speak of our love for people, we see partially, right? So I might have a great friendship with Tom, who was up, and you'll see him up on the stage again, playing the bass. It's awesome, right? When I speak of my love for Tom as a human being, right now, that could be authentic. And then maybe he does something that, I don't know, I think is crazy or whatever. And then my opinion of him changes, right? That happens with our relationships, our friendships, all the time. But when God speaks of his love for you, he does it in full view of your whole life, your future failures, your past failures. It's unchanging. He's not influenced by the moment like people are. You and I are used to being spoken to by people whose opinions change based on the moment. You may get an awesome job offer, and then 6 months down the road, you blow it, and all of a sudden, that person who wanted to hire you is like, you're done. You suck, right? Like, we experience that kind of change based on the moment, based on what's going on. But when God speaks something, he sees the whole picture. Isn't that comforting? Like, if, and maybe you don't experience this now, but what a comforting thought to know that you can encounter the love of God and be confident that his love for you is unchanging. It's not based on our actions. We receive it or we reject it, but his love isn't based on how good we are or how bad we are. His love is, so when he speaks that, he speaks it in full view of everything. I'm gonna read these couple verses from John. So in John chapter, this is like, these are some of the most profound verses in all of scripture for me because of my struggle with people, because of how I think about how others think, if that makes any sense. That might have been really confusing. The good thing about doing this, like, you can like scroll back and listen to that confusing sentence again and see if you can make any sense of it. But in John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, it says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Isn't that crazy? Jesus, like, he was used to this in his ministry, and you could, especially in the book of John, he's got times where the crowds are just singing his praise. They're just like, Jesus is amazing. He is awesome. He does some miracle. Everybody's freaking out. They're all elated and pumped, and it's incredible. And then there'll be another moment. He'll preach a hard message, and all of his disciples will leave. You know, in John chapter 6, it's a famous sermon that Jesus preaches that confused a lot of people, and actually the majority of his disciples left because they couldn't accept the hard words that he preached. And so Jesus, when the crowds all loved him, he didn't put a whole lot of stock in that. He didn't get all excited like, oh, they love me, because he knew that's probably going to change in the next moment, right? So what it's saying here was that, like, Jesus didn't trust in people. No one needed to tell him about human nature because he knew what was in each person's heart. But it goes back to what our first point was, like, God speaks by way of revelation. God had revealed to Jesus, you're my son, and I'm proud of you. Like, you and I can have that. You're my daughter, you're my son, and I'm proud of you. And we can know in our hearts what God thinks of us, so that when we encounter all kinds of craziness from people and we feel rejected, we feel, you know, shut out, we can just be confident that, well, God loves me. He accepts me. Like, Jesus didn't really get concerned with what the crowds thought because he knew it was going to change drastically based on whether or not he was pleasing them. I feel bad for actors and actresses who right now the crowds love them, right? Because what people have learned over the centuries is that as soon as you do something that the crowds hate, they start to hate on you. And we live in a social media culture right now where people attack other people's character like crazy. They sit in their parents' basement and write all these horrible, mean things about someone they don't like, right? And so people who live for people's love and affection are very quickly disappointed and let down because it changes. But God doesn't. And I want to encourage you to spend more time like seeking revelation from God, because like we're saying, God speaks the truth and he's not influenced by the moment. So what he says about you is true. You can build your life on it. God's not influenced by a moment. This is a quote from Oswald Chambers. And if you don't have a devotional that you read, the Oswald Chambers, like forever ago, wrote a devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. Every time I read that, he's got it like every day of the year. So you can read April 5th today. And almost always it speaks into the situation that I'm facing. He's just really deep thinker and spent a lot of time with God. But I was reading his devotional the other day, a week and a half or so ago. And he says, trust no one, not even the finest saint who ever walked this earth. Ignore him if he hinders your sight of Jesus Christ. I love that. Trust no one, not even the finest saint who ever walked this earth. Ignore him if he hinders your sight of Jesus. Like, couldn't we get to the point that we don't put our trust in people, but we trust in God? Like, wouldn't it be freeing for you and I to get to the point where we didn't put stock into what the crowds think or what people think of us, but we really put a lot of stock into what God thinks? And not just kind of like in a flippant kind of a way, but we actually had this confidence of what he says about us, what he's leading us to. Like, it gives you this incredible confidence. I want to share one more story, and then I'll tie it together and we'll close, and the band will come up and finish with a song. But in relation to this, that God speaks truth and he's not influenced by the moment, I was talking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and he's a young leader, really effective leader. Like, he loves Jesus, and people look to him, they trust him, and he's learning that sometimes those people say horrible things about you, and then sometimes they say nice things. And so we were just talking about that, and I'd never said this out loud before, but as I was talking to him, I heard myself saying something that I was like, man, I need to remember this, because I think it's true. But I said, because I experienced this as a leader, as a pastor, that as a pastor or as a leader or just as a follower of Christ, you're either in danger of falling into pride because everybody's telling you how awesome you are, or of falling into like depression and despair because everybody's criticizing you. And I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, but like when I listen to people, if I stop listening to God, if I stop, you know, reading the scriptures and trying to figure out what he's saying, I'm either in danger of one of those two extremes, thinking super high of myself. You know, I'll preach a sermon and then somebody will come and say, oh, that was awesome, it changed my life. And I start thinking, oh, wow, like, I was used by God, right? Or I'll do something that someone doesn't like and they're like, you're the worst leader ever. Like, can't you be more like so-and-so? Or, you know, why'd you make such a stupid decision? So you're either in danger of like pride or despair and discouragement. But Jesus, John the Baptist, Gideon, Priscilla in the New Testament, Paul, Peter, Silas, Deborah, these are all men and women of great faith that the scriptures tell us their story. They had learned to hear from God. They had learned to take their directive from God, and that's where their confidence came from. So when they were criticized, it didn't affect them. When they were praised, it didn't affect them. They learned to hear from him. And so what my challenge is to us today is these two things. When we're speaking about hearing from God, God speaks by way of revelation, and God speaks truth, and he's not influenced by the moment. And what I want to encourage you with today is God does want to speak, and he will reveal to you what he's saying if you'll open your ears, if you'll hear him. And that when God speaks, he's not influenced by a moment. You don't have to worry about your performance when you've heard from God. I mean, he'll show you what you're supposed to do, but you don't have to worry about his view of you changing when you hear from him, because when he speaks in view of your whole life. And so the reason this is possible, and we're talking this week is, it's Palm Sunday today, and we're heading into Easter. We're talking about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ did for you and I on the cross, he's opened the way for us to have a relationship with God. Maybe you're listening today and you haven't received Christ into your heart. I would encourage you, pray and receive Christ into your heart. Acknowledge your need for him. Acknowledge your own sin and receive him. and begin that relationship with him. Invite him in. And if you're a follower of him today, I just want to encourage you, spend time listening for God. He speaks by way of revelation, and what he speaks is true. It's not influenced by the moment. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. We're going to close with one song. And before we sing that song, I'll just pray. It's exciting. We talk about the scriptures. I think it always challenges us. It always challenges us with real life issues, with things that we're actually struggling with. But it doesn't do any good to hear it and do nothing with what you've heard. And so if God is speaking to you or challenging you today, I just want to encourage you to take some step, something that we talked about, whether that's spending more time in prayer or giving something up to seek God, or even asking somebody that you trust for some wisdom and some insight and actually applying what's being said. I just want to encourage you to actually take what you're hearing and apply it to your life. I want to be, for us as a community, to be a people who hear from God. Not that we have to come and hear the preacher say it, even though it's good that we gather and we listen to the scriptures, but that we are confident in hearing from him. Let's pray. And just even as we sing this last song, just open your heart and be receptive to him. Even tell God, Lord, I want to hear from you. I haven't really been listening, but I want to. And listen for what he says and how he leads. Lord, thank you for this day, again, that we can gather online. Thank you for your word. God, I just pray that you would help us to be people who actually hear your voice. Jesus, you modeled what it was like to hear God's voice. Lord, it's hard for us to even understand that you were a real person as well as being God. Like that, it's just hard for us to figure that one out. But Lord, we believe that. You've revealed that to us in Scripture. And Jesus, you actually had to hear from God over and over. Like you spent long periods of time in prayer before choosing your disciples. You spent long periods of time in prayer before going to the cross. You would just go off alone to hear from God because you didn't want to be distracted with what people were saying. And so, Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be like that too, that we wouldn't just only try to hear from you on a Sunday morning when we hear someone talking about you, but, Lord, that we'd be people that on Wednesday morning we're like, God, I want to hear your voice. On Friday morning, we're like, God, I want to hear what you have to say. Lord, we want our identity, our purpose to come from you, from a revelation from you. And, Lord, we want to be confident that when you say something, you're not influenced by a moment. You're not influenced by our past failures or our future ones. Lord, you speak what's true. Lord, you see the whole picture. You're the only one that sees the whole picture. So, Lord, would you just teach us to hear from you? We love you, God. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into our lives, into our church, into this community. God, we just want to continue to sing your praise. We want to be people who bring you joy, because we live in accordance with your word and your truth. You're awesome. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.